Well, hallelujah. Let's pray. Our Father, we bless thee tonight that we're a happy lot of people. Lord, happy in thee, happy in our salvation, happy in our walk with you day by day, Lord Jesus. And here we are in your presence with your Holy Spirit just overshadowing. We pray, Lord, that you will set the joy bells ringing in our hearts as we talk about coming and having access to thee in prayer. Lord, bless this meeting in a wonderful way, and you be glorified and delighted with the worship and the praise and, Lord, the love that ascends from every heart. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. Now, we've got two textbooks. The first and the main textbook is the Bible, and then E.G. Rowe. Last week, it was an introductory meeting, an introductory message. I've been asking the Lord, bless the meeting tonight. And this morning, I thought, well, now I'm going to preach it to myself and talk to the Lord about it. And you know, brother, I only went to heaven. I cried and I laughed and I had such a glory time, hallelujah. And all I hope is we have a glory time tonight.
Amen.
Praise God, hallelujah. Now, the subject of our meeting tonight is No Easy Road. And the path of prayer is No Easy Road. Now, our lessons take us from peak to peak, from mountain to mountain. And some of the way is rather rough, some of the way is hard, but there's one thing I have found in prayer that helps you tremendously, and that's having a love relationship with the Lord. If you haven't got that, then prayer is terribly different, terribly hard. A brother said to me one time, you know, he said, I got my wife from the mountain up here at Dandenong, Philip up at Monbog. And I used to, when I fell in love, he said, I used to, haven't got a car in those days, he said, I had to ride my bike. So he said, I used to ride my bike up to the Dandenong Hills. Well, I don't know what sort of a job that was, but I find riding a bike was pretty tough even on level ground. And to have to ride a bike up the Dandenongs, but he did it two or three times a week. Why? Because he loved that girl. And you go through anything for love. That's right. And if you love the Lord, it's a joy to pray. Glory to God. Amen. And so there's no easy road, and yet it can be a glory road as we journey and walk with the Lord. Now, it's no difficulty for me in the morning to get up early and to wait on the Lord for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. And then it's not enough. Simply because the Lord's so beautiful. Yes. He's so lovely. And it's a joy. I don't know what I would do without those times of waiting on God. The book that you've been reading, that first chapter, finishes up with a poem. And I think it's a very good poem, as long as you remember that there is glory in it with that love relationship of your love with the Lord. There's no easy road to glory. There's no rosy road to fame. Prayer, no matter how you view it, is no simple parlor game. But its prizes call for fighting, for endurance, and for grit. For a rugged, I can do it, and some I don't know when to quit. Hallelujah. And so let us remember that each of us are two people. We're two people. One is the old man and the other is the new. We've got the old nature and we've got the new nature. The old nature says, I don't want to pray. I want to stay in bed. I don't want to sacrifice. I want to have a good time. I want to be lazy. I want to neglect the Word of God. I don't want to read it. But the other self, the new man, which is God within you, and it's there all right, and you're born again, you say, I do love Jesus. I do want to contact him. I do love the place of prayer. And you turn to the old man and you say, look,
you get down into the place of death because you are crucified with Christ. And now I just live for him because he's my Lord and my Master and my lover, and I'm giving all to him. And you'll find that it will help you. If you have that attitude, it will help you tremendously in ever so many situations. All right, this week we're dealing with the cost of prayer and the results of prayer, the quality of prayer. I suppose you wonder just what that means. Well, it actually means the quality of each of us to pray, young, old, or what you may call it. Everyone has an equal place in God to pray. Then the path of prayer and the secret of prayer. Now, the cost of prayer. Anything that's worthwhile costs something. And any endeavor in life, no matter what it is, has a cost. And you will find that your benefits in the spiritual life will depend upon the amount that you are prepared to pay in effort and time to God. And your success will only come as you pay the price. But it's a glory price too. Praise the Lord. And so this love relationship. Now, as we look back in the Old Testament particularly, and the New, we find so many characters that really paid the price. Think of Daniel, for instance. Daniel was a great warrior, wasn't he? He was a great man of God. Right from a lad. Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 to 10, and verse 16. Now, Daniel was, you remember, made, because of his faithfulness, he was made to be an assistant to the king, one of the king's counselors, one of the king's princes. And this was a tremendous thing. But he loved God. It was only because of his love for the Lord, and he delighted in the Lord, that the Lord gave him, or made it possible for him to get this position. And remember that the other princes there, they were very jealous of him, and they saw means of finding some reason to have him put away or condemned or put to death. And you'll find that immediately you start a prayer life, you'll find the devil on your track. You'll find the devil. Now, I've been in this work for 50 years, and I have found that every time people get to prayer and God begins to move, the devil starts to attack. And he comes from all sorts of different quarters. So the scripture says we should not be ignorant of his devices. And God will put and hedge around about us and cover us with the precious blood and fill us with the Holy Ghost, and we're impervious. We're undefeatable. God is our God. Hallelujah. And he'll defeat the devil and all the powers of hell. And all the people say, Amen. Praise his lovely name. And so Daniel, he got to that window and he put it up and he prayed. Hallelujah! 3 times a day he prayed. And we know he was cast into the den of lions. But the Lord just closed the mouths of the lions, as you know, and he was delivered from that thing. And then Jeremiah. Oh, Jeremiah in his day. Lamentations 1 and 16, also verse 20. And then also I'd like you to have a look at Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 19. And he was a mighty man of God, but it was only because of his prayer life. He cried to God day and night. He wept and he just agonized with God. But, oh, I tell you, he's got a reward in glory as a result of what he actually went through. And you pray for pastors. I've been a pastor for many years, and I know what a pastor's burdens are. A pastor needs tremendous grace from God, and he gets it, praise the Lord, if his people pray. You know the assemblies that I've been to over the last 50 years? They're still on my heart, those people. I pray for those people still. They're my children. Praying High. You've read about Praying High in your book. Praying High, this young man, only
only 4 years ordained, was it? I'm not too sure. But however, here he was, a missionary prayer warrior, as it were. And there he prayed. And the missions around about India, they knew that he was around, because things began to alter. People began to get under conviction of sin. You see, this is what revival is. Yeah. Revival is getting back to God in holiness.
Yeah.
It's conviction of sin.
Yeah.
It's not so much just clapping and singing and having a good time and saying what a wonderful time we're having. That's not real revival. Real revival gets right down into the heart until men and women cry, "Oh God, what shall I do to be saved? Lord, give me a clean heart. Lord, deliver me from this habit. Deliver me, Lord, from sin. I don't care, Lord, what it is, whether by water or fire or what it is, but make me clean, Lord." That's revival. And that's the revival we're asking for. Not just to have crowds of people. That'll come. That's secondary. What we need and what God wants above all is men and women with clean hearts and bringing people in to be delivered from darkness, out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son.
Amen. Oh,
hallelujah.
Amen.
And so, as you pray, remember that you are joining in the great campaign for souls. And every prayer you utter is deathless. It'll live on. God stores His prayers. He stores His prayers. My mother's prayers are still effective with God. Mother prayed for me for years and years, and they're still effective. Mm. You know, God illustrates prayer by incense. Mm. Incense is spices that have been taken and stored into granules and made into incense. And later on, that incense is burned and up goes the beautiful odors. The prayers go. God is still receiving the prayers, and the world is still getting the benefit of the prayers of Praying Hive and Brainard and the dear ones that have gone on before us. And your prayers, they are being stored too. And then we come to the results of prayer. In James 5:16. The scripture says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth a little bit. Availeth much. Hallelujah. And you've got no idea how much your prayers mean. Because listen, my brothers, I've been trying to emphasize this fact because it means so much in my own life, that when we pray, we're linked with God. And the Holy Ghost does not pray except through the church. The Holy Ghost has not a body, and He wants our body. And God can only have a human being pray for a human being. It took a human being to die for human sin. Jesus couldn't bear our burdens or our sins unless He became a man. A man has got to die and make atonement for sin, and Jesus did it. Now man has got to pray for man to be saved and for the effect of the atonement to be made real, and this prayer's got to go up to a man. That's why the Holy Ghost is given to us. Jesus came and took the body of a man to die for man. The Holy Ghost comes down and lives in man and prays for man, that man may be blessed with what God has provided. And if you don't pray and give your body to God, to give the Holy Ghost to pray, people won't get saved. And that's why it's so necessary. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah!
Amen.
And then we notice the various things. Well, the scripture does say there, doesn't it, in James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. And I believe that the church is terribly poor in miracles, it's poor in power, it's poor in conversions, it's poor in conviction, and it's because we're not asking. There's no prayer going up, or very little, when the average is 60 seconds a day on the census that was made up some little time ago. But what are the results? Oh, there are so many results that come through prayer. One of the results is wisdom. And we all need wisdom, don't we? We read over in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, how is it? How does the Lord give us the wisdom? Well, Christ in you is the hope of glory, isn't he? And when we're born again, he's in us, isn't he? The 1 Corinthians 2:16, that we have the mind of Christ. But brother, sister, I believe the marvelous things I've been writing our sheet for next week today, and I've been overwhelmed to think of the things that are in Christ for us. But they've got to be released by prayer and faith. That's the only way. And if you want wisdom, if you want the blessings of God, you must pray, you must contact God. It's not sufficient just to say you believe this or that. We must appropriate this or that. Hallelujah. And so the next thing is prosperity. 2 Chronicles 26:6. Prosperity is the result of prayer. This is a beautiful scripture. It's the latter part, really, of verse 5 in 2 Chronicles 26:5. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, I got a verse together there. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And of course, over in 1 Psalm, in verse 3, it says, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Hallelujah. Now, I don't want you to get the idea of commercializing God and saying, well, because I pray, Lord, I ought to get this and I ought to get that. Look at the things I need, Lord. It's spiritual things we need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. A man in one of my churches during my ministry came to me, and he said, oh, Pastor, I'm fed up. I said, what's wrong? He said, I'm not going to tithe anymore. I said, aren't you? He said, no. He said, doesn't pay the tithe. He said, I tithe because, he said, I thought the Lord was going to heal me every time I got sick. But he said, I'm still going to go to the doctor. It's better for me, he said, to give the doctor me the money instead. He said, it'll cost me less than tithing. Well, fancy having an outlook like that. And you know, there are some people, and there's a lot of this going on at the present time, saying, look, if you give this, God will give you that. Well, we know, but oh, it's a terrible thing to cultivate that spirit. We give out of love for God. We're not just sort of what we can get out of it. Isn't it a terrible thing for any parent to think that all the children want is just things and they've got no love? I've told you before how I was going away, and little Carrie and Lynn, there were little things, and I said, well, I bring you home, darlings. And they said, no, I don't buy anything for them. I said, sure, what am I going to buy? I'm going to get you something. What would you like? And Carrie said, Papa, we want you to come home. We don't want you to bring anything. We want you to come home. Well, if I was going to spend £1 before that, I'd have spent £5. And the Lord said, if you delight yourself in me, delight thyself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. If you love the Lord, he'll empty heaven for you. He'll do anything for you. When I stepped out into the ministry, and all before I stepped out full time into the ministry, I didn't have so much time to wait on the Lord. And I don't suppose prayer was what it became to me later. But from the time I stepped out until this time, and that's, I suppose, well, nearly 50 years, I've never wanted for a thing. I've been marvelously provided for.
Hallelujah.
I sing home to God and I say, Lord, you're the most beautiful, wonderful friend I ever had. He's given me a beautiful home. Oh, brother, it's amazing. Oh, you say that little place. It's amazing to me, my brother, sister, because God gave it to me. Hallelujah. A wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. And so you'll prosper. Bless God. You know what he says? All things are yours. He said, whether it be a Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or things present, or things to come, all things are yours. Hallelujah. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that beautiful? That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Praise God. But you say that I haven't possessed them. I don't possess them. Well, Abraham, he was promised Palestine, wasn't he? And he didn't possess it, but he's going to. Hallelujah. The results of prayer, and then a spiritual awakening. Oh, that's the next thing. And that's the main thing we're after, isn't it? Write down Acts 1, chapter 4, verse 14, and then Acts 2, verse 41. And you'll notice that in Acts 2, 41, it says there, they gladly received his word and were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That was an awakening, wasn't it? Yes. Praise God. And but listen, you can't get into Acts 2 as you've been through Acts 1. You must get to Acts 1 first. Praise God. Acts 1:14 says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. All of one accord in prayer and supplication. Then comes the awakening. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. You remember, I'll tell you, how those boys started to come around to our place and ask if they could pray. And it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew. And Pastor Duncan came up. And he was staying with us. And the first afternoon he said, I don't have any feeling about this place. He said, I sort of feel, he said, that God's in the place. I said, I hope he is. He'll be praying a long time. They started. And do you know, when the meeting started, when he began to pray, the people began to fall on the floor. And all over the place, they were falling down on the floor. And the next day he laughed. He said, I couldn't help laughing. He said, I saw you, I left to be my wife. He said, you were standing there and you were looking at the floor. You were standing there looking. He said, you reminded me about him there. Was it peering over the lecture top? Oh, we had a mighty time. Oh, I remember better than some of the folk that had never had the baptism. They got the baptism and people came in. And, oh, it was wonderful. And one little girl, she'd been so wild, on a Sunday morning, she got up and she, the following Sunday morning she got up and she said, Lord Jesus, take me home to heaven. She said, I'm so happy, take me home to heaven, Lord. She said, I don't want to backslide again. And she said, I'm so weak, but take me home. Well, that was a little girl. Well, praise God. When God finds people to pray, he'll just open heaven and send the blessing down. Praise him. And then spiritual deliverance. In Psalm 34 and 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Oh, isn't that beautiful?
Yes, it is.
I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You know, I wasn't saved. And I was in Scotland. And I couldn't get a job. And I wanted to get home. And I hadn't any money. I was staying with people over there that were very gracious to me. And then the harbour master at Grangemouth, he rang up my uncle and he said, look, he said, I can get young Alec, he said, a ship to go home if he works his way back. So I went into Glasgow and they said, yes, the ship will be sailing on a certain date, and if you come in on a day before we sail, he said, you'll see the captain. And so I said goodbye to them all and when the time came around and packed everything and got on the train and went through to Glasgow. And when I got there, I went to the shipping office and they said, the skipper's been and he's booked up all his crew. He won't want you. I said, no. They said, it's all fixed. I don't know when I ever felt worse. I came out of that place and I thought, what will I do? Oh, those people, I've got to go back there. They'll be so tired of me, they want to get rid of me, and here I am. I got on the train, and I wasn't saved, but it was an empty compartment, and I got down on the knees, and I cried to God, hallelujah. Oh, he's gracious, isn't he? He's gracious. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me, hallelujah. I got up, I felt better, I got back to Grange Mount. I went to my uncle. I said they didn't want me. They said, that's all right. We're happy to have you. They were so gracious. 3 days after, I got a job. And I stayed there for a couple of years in a job up in Perthshire. And on the Christmas following my episode in Glasgow, I was sitting having dinner when they brought me a postcard, because they don't have Christmases up in Scotland. They don't celebrate, but it didn't then anyway. And the post became, it was a postcard. And you know what the postcard said? It was from the harbour master at Grangemouth. And he was congratulating me on not taking that ship, as it had been wrecked. The Lord heard.
Yeah.
Isn't he gracious?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll never forget that. Hallelujah. And he delivered me from fear. There was one time I had such a terrible fear. I suppose you felt this at times. Oh, I was in a terrible state. And another brother and I, and he had it too. And I was up on the platform at Parks there, and I just got down against a chair like here, and I'm, God, I said, I don't know what happened, I'm so afraid. The fear is terrible, it's like torment. And I got up, and I walked over to the pulpit, with my eyes shut, and I opened my eyes, and the big Bible was open. And I looked down, this is what I read, Daniel 10:19. O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto you, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken these words, I was strengthened.
Yeah.
Wasn't it marvelous? And I was strengthened. I said, thank you. And you know, I've never been bothered with fear ever since. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, our God is glorious. Hallelujah. And then another thing he gives us is power. Well, I haven't got time, but just Jeremiah 33:3. Great power. Hallelujah.
Yeah, right.
And then in the next one is equality of prayer. This means that everybody can pray. Young or old, rich or poor, educated or non-educated, you can all pray. And God is so gracious. When Ruthie was just a little girl, she had some goldfish. I'll never forget. And one, she had them all named, and one goldfish, she named this goldfish Ivy. And it was a very pretty little goldfish, and it was, she named it after an auntie she had, a rather pretty little auntie. And Ivy got sick. And Ivy would lie on the top of the water, start there, and just sideways up, and then lay. And anyway, I walked out one morning, go to the prayer meeting, and there's poor Ivy. Oh, all but the last. An hour and a half, a couple of hours after, I came in, and Ivy's going around the place like a good one, all over the floor. I said, Ruthie, she was already up, and she said, yes, Daddy. I said, Ivy's swimming all over the place. She said, yes, I prayed for her. Well, you know, the Lord hears if you pray for a fish. Glory to God. Amen. I heard of one man that got rebuked because he was a farmer and his horse was sick, and he was pretty prayed for his horse and his horse got healed. And the pastor went to him and said, that's silly, you don't pray for horses. Well, I'll pray for anything. Hallelujah. Because our God, he's interested in us in every way. And all the people say,
amen.
Glory to God. And then there's an old lady. Oh, she's such a dear old soul. Oh, so old. She couldn't read. She couldn't write. And she was an old bush nurse. And I used to go over and I used to sit with her because she was in education, just to hear her talk about the Lord. Oh, she lived in prayer. And I remember one time she said to me, we were coming home in the old car from Orange somewhere, and we went past such a set of creek. It was in flood. And she said, Benny, that's her grandson, he drove it into it, and the car stopped right in the middle. And the water came right up, and right over our feet as we sat in the car. And they had to sit there. We sat there for half an hour, and she said, something said to me, God can get you out of this. And she said, I said, Benny, in the name of Jesus, drive out. And she said, he put his foot in the starter, he was started, and he came out. Hallelujah. And the other members of the family, they said, that's right. That's right. What God can do, he can do miracles.
Yes.
Still the same. Hallelujah. And then we find that in the Word of God, there's in Luke 2:36-37, Anna the prophetess, remember her? And then the Ethiopian eunuch, Remember, he prayed, and then two, no matter what your status or your culture or your education is, God is able. Outcast publican, Luke 18, 10 to 14. The Canaanitish woman, Matthew 15, 21 to 28. I'll have to tell you this. I was sitting in the seat on the platform before I went to Park, some years before I went to Park. I was sitting on the platform. Pastor Duncan was preaching. We had a conference or a convention or something. And Pastor always, he can preach. Pastor Duncan, he was wonderful. And he's preaching away, and I thought, oh Lord, if I could only preach like that. I said, I don't know why he made me like this, Lord. But he's a tiny little fellow, and I never did have too much hair. And little fellow I am, and I falter, and I fail in my speech, and oh Lord, I don't. And I looked in the front seat, and there was a chap sitting in the front seat there. His name was Muddleson. I didn't know what his name was. But Muddleson was his name. And he only had a little forehead about that far, that's right. And he had, his eyes were sticking up like this. Really, the poor fellow was really badly handled. And I said, Lord, it's bad enough you making me like this, but what do you expect from a poor fellow like that? I said, look, Lord, you made a mess of him. And I'm talking to the Lord like this. So after the meeting was over, as I walked down to the platform, a gentleman walked over to me and said, Pastor, could I have a little talk with you? So I went over to that seat over there. That's the best one. And I sat down and said, what is it? He said, my name is Dave. He said, and I want to have a little talk with you about water baptism. And this Muggleson, and as he came over, I said, oh, excuse me, brother. I said, if you want to see me, you just have to wait. I'm dealing with this gentleman here. But this gentleman, Mr. Davis, he said, oh, wait a minute, Pastor. He said, it's Mr. Muggleson. He was the one that led me to the Lord. I tell you, I got quite a shake up from the Lord over that. And then the pastor told me that Mr. Muggleson used to come up a Sunday morning and sit in the church there with his eyes up, but he took in the sermon, or some of it, and then he'd go to Forbes in the afternoon, and he'd gather the unemployed people together in the unemployed camp, and all the youngsters, and he had a great meeting there in the afternoon. You'd wonder how anybody could listen to him, but they did. And he had a friend, Edwards. Edwards and Muggleson, they were evangelists. And they would go from town to town. I saw them taking a meeting. Oh, brethren. I laughed. I couldn't help it. I got behind the corner and I just killed myself laughing. But I tell you, God wasn't laughing at me. And God wasn't laughing at me laughing either. They used to travel from town to town, and they couldn't afford a cart, they couldn't afford a car, they couldn't afford a carriage, they couldn't afford a horse. The only thing they could afford was a wheelbarrow. And Mr. Muggleson used to wheel Mr. Edwards a mile in a wheelbarrow. And then they'd change over and they'd go next time. Now, brother and brethren, as I stand here, that's true. That's true. But I tell you, they were gems to God. They lived in prayer. And they lived to tell other people about Jesus. Oh, God can use any of us. He can even use me. I was going to say you. He can even use me. That's what he was telling me. Anyway, on those days, praise God. Now, we're coming near the end. The path of prayer. The path of prayer. Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Well, you can put anything after that. Follow me and I will make you a prayer. Hallelujah. A witness. Glory. A real intercessor. He'll make you if you follow him. That's the path of prayer. Follow the dear Lord. My favorite psalm. Who can tell me my favorite psalm?
63.
That's right. 63 verses 1 and 2. Oh, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. To see thy power and thy glory. Hallelujah. That's the path of prayer, following Jesus, and a heart of compassion for the lost.
and a longing to see God glorified.
Hallelujah.
Brethren, I finish with just these words. The secrets of prayer. First, the secret of prayer found over there in Psalm 25:19. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Psalm 25:14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. That is, respect him, reverence him. Realize what a mighty God he is. He's not a cheap God. He's not a little God. He's a mighty God. And the second secret I will give you is found in Psalm 37:4. It's delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The third thing is believe. Mark 11:22-24. You can remove mountains. When you go to the Lord, remember, you're going to delight in him. Hallelujah. You're going to fear him with a holy respect. You're going to believe in his word. And you're also going to praise him. Hallelujah. Psalm 149. Read it and read it and read it again. Psalm 149. A secret of victory in prayer. From verses 5 to 9 particularly. And lastly, the great secret of prayer is to pray. The secret of learning to pray is pray. Hallelujah. Whatever you do, find a place to pray, a time to pray, and keep it religiously. Keep it faithfully. Have a meeting with God, because the Lord loves you. He loves us all, and he longs to meet with us. He longs to meet with us. And when you start to pray, you'll form a habit, and you'll find that the Lord will wake you up, and you'll get uneasy unless you get up. You'll feel that God's out there waiting for you, or wherever you're going to pray. But do pray. Do ask God to meet you and rejoice in him and love him and bless him. And let me say just these two things. There are two great divisions in prayer. Two great divisions in prayer. One is communion, which means resting in God, worshipping God, praising God, delighting in his presence, and having a glory time in God. But the other, and this is what we're entering in now, the other branch of prayer is intercession, which is different in the sense of its striving, its pressing on, its effort, its work, it's a task, it's a strain, it's energy consuming. And you'll find that as you pray, mix the two, in a sense, rest for time in that beautiful atmosphere of rest in God, the communion side of it, and then turn into intercession and pray for God to pour his spirit out. Now, I can only do that without a rest for an hour. If I put all I have into crying to God, it gets me across the head until I just have to stop and I just rest back in the Lord and I rest. The lecturer on Path to Power in Melbourne recently, he said, get up and make yourself a cup of tea or walk around for a little while. I do make myself a cup of tea when I get up, but I don't need to do that. I find that to rest in God and worship the Lord and love the Lord, I find that's so relaxing. But there are those two things, so keep that in mind. Thank you, Pastor.